Welcome. We are glad you're here, whether that's right here or out there. But we're glad you're here. We are going to begin with singing Anywhere with Jesus, which is 414. And so we will begin our worship of our God and encouragement of our fellow Christians with these songs.
Anywhere with Jesus, I can say,
our second song is There is Sunshine in My Soul.
May not be sunshine outside, but the inside, it's all good.
There is music in my soul today, a carol to my King.
And I'll sing the right one. But I got there and I liked it, so that was all my fault. What? Yes. Yes, but of the correct song. Mike McConnell reminded me that not only was I going to sing The Lily of the Valley 548, I was only going to sing verses 2 and 3. So, yes.
Oh, ye all my griefs has taken. Never leave me, nor yet forsake me here.
Let's bow. Our Father and our God, we're indeed grateful that we can assemble, whether virtually or here, and hear another word, another lesson from Tim tonight. We're grateful, Father, that we can sing these songs and we can have these prayers and other portions of our service. We're grateful, Father, for each and every blessing that we enjoy. Thankful, Father, for the health of many that they're able to come out for services this morning. We're grateful, Father, for those that have seen improvement in their health. And yet at the same time, we're aware of others that maybe are dealing with difficulties and are not recovering as quickly as possible from various shots and other procedures that have been done. Certainly do pray, Father, though, that they may recover soon. Father, there may be others that are dealing with the loss of loved ones. We certainly pray for them as they deal with these things. Father, we're thankful for the congregation here, for the work that carries on here with the services, our Bible studies, our various Zoom classes, various other ways of reaching out to teach others, the ladies' Bible class, the men's classes, the daily devotions, other opportunities that we have. Father, we just pray again for each of us that we might use our talents and abilities to reach out, to teach, to encourage, if we can, a neighbor, a friend, perhaps a relative that needs to be strengthened, perhaps someone who's not yet a Christian, that we might have an opportunity to teach or encourage them. And perhaps for those that are Christians and yet need to be stronger Christians and need to listen to other lessons perhaps, attend where they have the opportunity. Father, again, we realize there are many that feel like it's best for them not to be out because of health concerns they may have or for other reasons. Certainly be with them, help them to be with us, though virtually if they possibly can. Father, we certainly just ask that you continue to be with efforts in various parts of the world. I'm not sure that I know the conditions in other places, but I'm aware of some in parts of Africa that have opened back up, and yet in other places perhaps things are pretty tight in the fact that they cannot meet as we are meeting here tonight. Father, continue to bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have to double check myself and make sure I'm going to sing the right song now. I'm doubting myself. The song we're going to sing is A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Our God, our Lord, is our shelter in any time of storm.
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever will we die, shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
going to have our scripture reading, and then we'll sing one more song, and then Tim will be doing our message tonight.
Scripture reading this evening is John chapter 14, verses 18 through 23. John 14, 18 through 23. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.
Thank you. God is our all in all. There are two parts to in this song. You feel free to sing whichever part makes you happy. I am going to sing the lead on part two twice. That means one of the times I will be singing with the women, and then the second time I'll be singing what the men normally sing. And that's just to make sure we keep on track. But you feel free to sing whichever part you want, whatever makes you the most happiest.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God,
Good evening. We are glad you are with us this evening. We have seven or eight here in the building, but we have many more than that watching, following along with us virtually. And we're very thankful that you have chosen to join us for this time of worship and Bible study. Sorry that we could not do this outdoors. The forecast was very much on the edge. I'm afraid we would have gotten out there and the rain would have started. So for now, we'll do it this way. But we're moving closer to a time when we can all be back together. And if you say, well, when is that, Tim? I'll say, I don't know. But we're moving closer. It will come, and we will rejoice when that day comes and just love it. We're not going to take for granted our blessing in being able to assemble together. That's something we will never again take for granted. Or if we do, shame on us. But we're glad you're with us. By the way, we have had issues with YouTube the last couple of times, this morning and Wednesday night. Hopefully all of that's been worked out. If anything should happen, then just know that we're also broadcasting on Facebook Live. We also have an audio live stream on our website at gracemind.org. So if one of them falls out, then just hustle on over to another one, and you won't lose a beat. But hopefully none of that's going to happen tonight. But again, we're so glad you're with us. Thank you for joining us, and let's get into our study of the Word of God. In my life, I've met individuals that have come to be very good friends, but I found that it doesn't end there normally. Many times it will branch out. I will then meet family members of theirs or friends or associates of theirs, and thus it is a ripple effect. And what began as one good friend ends up being several friends that came out of that one relationship. And I count that a great blessing. Well, I say that because of what we found in our last look at John's gospel. And I want us to look for a moment at John 13, verse 33. And here Jesus has already begun this last discourse with his apostles. It is the last time that he has this time to, before the crucifixion that is, before for him to kind of brief them on things, prepare them, remind them of things. And it extends to John chapter 17, this discourse. And here we're looking at what comes after his washing their feet. And now Judas has gone to do what he's going to do, that is to betray the Lord. And now Jesus drops this bombshell on them, although it should not have come as a shock. He's been giving them information along this line for some time. But he says in John 13, verse 33, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." And again, you can imagine the jolt that that was for the apostles that were gathered there that evening. They've been with Jesus for 3 years now. They have seen his miracles. They have heard his teaching. They have watched his manner with people, which must have been amazing. I wish we could see that as well as read about the miracles and the teachings. And now for Jesus to say, "We've come to the time when I'm going to have to leave, and you're not going to see me again." Now, they would see him again for 40 more days after his resurrection. But the point is that the time has come. He's going to leave them and go back to the Father. And so you can imagine they were very sad at this moment. They were wondering, what now? And yet, what they're going to learn in this lesson that we're going to look at tonight, and which occupies much of John chapter 14, what they're going to learn is that they're not losing their master. In fact, they are gaining a triune presence. Now, that word triune is not a familiar one to most of us. It is a word that simply means three in one. And what we're going to see in this lesson is that they're not losing Jesus, not other than his physical presence, but they're gaining relationships that are going to be very important, very powerful, very valuable. And it's kind of like what people will say to a parent of a child who is getting married. They'll say, "You're not losing a daughter, you're gaining a son," or vice versa, if they're marrying off their son. And that often comes to be the case. We do gain rather than lose. Well, in this case, with the apostles, it is very true. They're going to have a triune presence. Let's look at that and understand what that means. Now, first of all, the question is, would they see Jesus again? Would they see Jesus again? And now we come to chapter 14 and verse 1. And again, imagine, if you will, the expressions on their faces. Jesus has just said, I'm going away, you cannot come there. And obviously their faces show they are sad, they are troubled, they're confused. And listen to what Jesus says in verse 1, a very familiar statement, but let's put it in context. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus knows what they're feeling. He knows how they are struggling with this announcement that he is going to be going away. And so he says at the outset, I'm going to tell you things that you need to believe. And if you can believe them, you're not going to be troubled. And that is an enduring message for us. Now, not everything that we're going to be talking about tonight applies to us. Some of it was strictly for the apostles. But this part does apply to us. That when we go through life's trials and troubles, if we believe in the promises that God has given us, that's going to help us. We're not going to be troubled like we otherwise would be. And so Jesus begins right there, believe me, because the next couple of days you're going to need it. As Jesus is arrested, as he is taken and tried, as he is crucified, and as his body lies in the grave, they're going to need to believe, and that's all they've got for that period of time. But how powerful that belief could be. Well, let's go on and see what Jesus says immediately after that. Well, what do we believe, Lord? He says in verses 2 and 3, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And so the good news there is, this is not the last time they'll see Jesus. They will see him again. And in this statement, he is looking long ahead into the future, into that time we call the afterlife. And he talks about my Father's house and how he is going there to prepare the rooms where they would dwell. That word for room in the Greek is mone. It is a word that only occurs here as well as in verse 23 of chapter 14. And those are the only two times it appears in the New Testament. And it simply means the place where you abide, your dwelling place. It's unfortunate that it has been translated mansions, at least in our day and time, because that's not really what it says. I know we love to think of the idea that I've got a palace waiting there someday for me in heaven, but that's not what Jesus really said. He said there's going to be a place for you. Now, it may turn out to be something palatial. I don't know. But whatever it is, Jesus has gone to prepare it for us, and he's going to come and get us and take us back there. And that kind of knowledge has the power to get us through so many trials in life, because I know that given the worst, I mean, if we're talking about the worst case scenario, if Jesus is going to come back and take me to that home where the Father is, I'll make it. I can endure whatever life throws at me because Jesus will come and he will take me back again. And then notice what he goes on to say in verses 4 through the first part of verse 6. He goes on to say this, and you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said what we probably would have said. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. And we'll stop there in mid-sentence. Jesus says, I am the way to get there. Now, you may not know exactly where heaven is or where I am going to be, but the important thing is that you remain in me. I am the way. And you keep walking that way, you keep living that way, and you'll be fine. Now, in the next chapter, which we'll come to in a week or two, Jesus will talk about the connection that we have to keep with him. He is the vine, we are the branches, and our only hope of enduring is to remain connected. Well, that's the idea here as well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I like the way Craig Keener, in his New Testament backgrounds commentary, puts it. He said, Jesus answers Thomas's question thus, the Father is where I'm going, and I am how you will get there. And again, it's not important that we know how to get there, other than we just stay with Jesus. That's all we need to know. We just keep our focus on him, and he will get us there without any doubt at all. And then I want us to jump down to verse 18 for just a moment, because here again, Jesus is talking about, this isn't the last time you're going to see me. And I love this statement. The more I read it, the more I really connect with this, because he says in verse 18 of John 14, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus knows where we would be without him. He knows that we would be like orphans, and an orphan, and you can kind of get the idea if you can make out the picture there, a very old photo of three orphans. Why, they have no one to watch after them. They've got to fend for themselves. None of them have shoes in what looks like a time of cold weather. And Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you like that. Yeah, physically I'm going away, but I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I think that refers not only to his second coming, but I think it also refers to his spiritual coming, the sense in which we know he is with us now. And so, yeah, we're not going to see Jesus physically, but Jesus says, believe in me. Believe in the Father, believe in me, because this is not the last time you're going to see me. Well, let's go on to the second idea that we find in John 14, talking about this triune presence, and that is the presence of the Father. The presence of the Father. Now, we're going to go back to chapter 14, verse 6, and now we'll pick up the latter part of verse 6, where we stopped earlier. And there Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And so Jesus says you're going to have a presence of the Father in a way that you've not experienced before. Now, the Father's always been in the lives of everybody, in a sense. He is everywhere at all times. Psalm 139 makes that very clear. There's nowhere that we can go where God is not. But Jesus is saying here, you're going to have that presence in a very powerful way. And it's not something you have to wait until heaven to enjoy, because he goes on to say there in the latter part of verse 7, from now on you do know him and have seen him, as if you're going to know it. And I think one of the things that Jesus probably had in mind in saying that is the resurrection. The resurrection from the dead, that he would give his son, that would declare to the world, I am with my son, and if you're with my son, then I am with you as well. And so that triune presence again. Go on in verses 8 and 9 now, and this raises another question from Philip this time. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. It makes me think of Moses in Exodus, who said to God, Lord, show me your glory. And we can all identify with that, can't we? Wouldn't we love to have a photograph of God and actually to see his presence, his being? And yet it wasn't possible, God said, for a person in the flesh to see his full glory. And so that's an understandable question. Listen to what Jesus says in response to that in verse 9. Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? So Jesus is saying, in essence, you have seen the Father. You've seen him in me. Now, that doesn't mean that if we somehow could find a photograph or a painting of Jesus that survived the ages, well, that's what God looks like. He's not talking about his physical appearance. He's talking about who God is. God is this. God is that. Well, just look at Jesus. And that's one of the reasons he came to this earth. As John said in John chapter 1, he is the declaration of the grace and the glory of God. And so Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know what he's like by looking at me. In verses 10 and 11, he goes on, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. And now he's talking especially about the Father's presence. They may have said, well, we would love to have seen God while you were here on earth, Lord. And Jesus said, you have. You have seen the Father in me and the works that I've done and the revelation of his character. You have seen him. And now you're going to realize that more powerfully than ever before. The Father's presence will be with you. And then in verses 12 through 14, I see Jesus talking about the benefits of having this enhanced realization of the presence of the Father. He says, beginning in verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now here is something that I think is specifically addressed to the apostles, because they were going to be called upon to do some things that we'll never be called upon to do, to show the authority of the word, to show the validity of the word they were preaching. But Jesus says, you're going to see that power greater than ever. You're going to be doing greater works than I did. Now, I don't know that that means greater in terms of quality. I think it does mean quantity, because there were, after all, 12 apostles. After Judas left, then he was replaced by another, and then Paul came along. And so greater in the sense of more and numerous works that they would be doing, but then also in the idea that whatever you ask, that will be done for you, that the Father may be glorified. Now, this wasn't like rubbing a lamp and the genie comes out and whatever you want, tell me. Instead, it's the things they would ask to expand the kingdom, to further the kingdom on earth. And so again, Jesus is saying the Father will be present in a powerful way. And you'll see that through the works that I have done. And now you'll be able to do them, and you will know the presence of the Father is with you, just as he has been with me. And then down in verse 23, listen to this statement again about the Father and what all this means. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And here is a statement I think we can all apply to ourselves, not just the apostles, because Jesus said, those who love me, those who keep my commandments, the Father will come and dwell with him, and I will dwell with them as well. The Expositor's Bible Commentary makes this statement about that verse. The reality of Jesus and the Father's presence would be conditioned on obedience, an obedience that resulted from their love for God. And isn't that what Jesus says in other places here? We're not going to look at it so much tonight, but he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so love is where it all begins, and when we love God, when we love the Father, the Son, the Spirit, we're going to obey. And one of the benefits of that is knowing the presence of the Lord, not in the same way the apostles did, but by promise. We know that God is with us because we are living a life that he has shown us. Now let's turn to that third aspect of the triune presence, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. In verses 15 and 16 of John 14, Jesus continued by saying this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, which we mentioned just a moment ago. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He will give you another helper. Now, this is a very interesting promise, because he says it will be another helper. Now remember, he's saying all of this in view of the fact that he had told them, I'm not going to be with you. I'm going away. You will not be able to come there. And yet he says, another helper will be sent. And that leads us to believe, and it's borne out in many things that are said later, that this will be someone that has the powers of Jesus, that has the position of Jesus in many ways. This is somebody they can count on. Now, this word helper is translated from the Greek word paraclete. It is variously translated in other translations as comforter, as counselor, companion, advocate, and some simply say paraclete, which I think is a cop-out. It's not really a translation. But I think the idea is very clear here, and that is assistance. And they're going to need it. They are now being handed the keys of the kingdom, Peter especially, the keys of the kingdom, and they're going to be responsible for advancing the kingdom of God on earth. They're going to need assistance. And Jesus said he's going to give you another helper, another advocate, counselor, the paraclete. And then again, in verse 17, he further identifies him as the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And so here Jesus says, this Spirit is a Spirit of Truth. Now again, that was very important for these apostles. They are being given the responsibility of opening the doors of the kingdom. Peter will do that on the day of Pentecost. All of them will do it in effect. And that means they need to preach the truth. But how do we know, Lord? How do we know what the truth is? The Spirit of Truth is being given to you. Now, go on to verse 26, and we'll really see how the apostles benefited from this. In verse 26, Jesus went on to say this about this helper. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, and there he makes it very clear who he's talking about, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And boy, how they would need that. If they were anything like me, you know, it's hard for me to keep everything that I've heard. It's impossible for me. And I can tell you some of what I've been taught, but a lot of things I've forgotten. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be there to help you. And these are the days before the written word was completed. There was no New Testament like we know it now. They were the beginning of that kingdom, and they needed to know that what we're telling people is really what God wants them to hear. And the Holy Spirit was that assurance. He would guide them into all truth and bring to their remembrance the things that Jesus told them. And so again, what a great gift this was. And there's a lot more that we're going to see in the Gospel of John about the Holy Spirit. Most of what we've talked about tonight is specifically toward the apostles, but there's a whole lot that refers to us. And this is also a blessing for us. Not in the miraculous measures, no, but in the sense that we have a helper. We have one who assists us as we're moving toward heaven. And again, it is that blessing of the triune presence. So the question is, were they losing their master? Well, yes and no. Physically, his presence would soon be taken from them, as we have said already. But look at what they were getting instead. They were getting an even greater presence of the Father, an even more powerful manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus himself would be with them in a very spiritual way. And I want to end with that verse that I said has become so meaningful to me back in verse 18. We've already looked at it, but let's just close with this idea. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I believe that's still as true today as it ever was. Christ does not abandon his followers. Now, we may never see him physically in the flesh, as the apostles did, but we can know the Lord is with us. He said that at the end of the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's not going to leave us as orphans. And that tells me that if I really want to make it, if I have made my goal, my treasure, the inheritance of those heavenly blessings, a room in the great house of God in heaven, it's not all up to me. A lot of it is. But God gives me the help I need. And that really encourages me. It's a promise for you as well. And if you've not yet started your journey, I urge you to make that decision now. I mean, it's late in the day, of course. But it may not be late in your life, or it may be late in your life. We just don't know. The point is, we have this moment right now. Let's make the decision to get into Christ, to be led in the way, all the way to the Father's house. If you're not a Christian, confess your faith that He is the Son of God. Turn away from sin by repenting of it. And tonight, decide to be baptized, to wash away your sins. That's what the Bible teaches, and we'd love to help you. If we can help you tonight, let's do it tonight. We'll stay late. We'll arrange for somebody in your community to help you make that act of obedience. Whatever we can do, we want to do it. And if, as a child of God, you have wandered from the path, you need to repent of your sins and pray for forgiveness, write to one of those email addresses that is on your screen, and we'll pray with you. We'll do anything we can to encourage you. But friend, we have the presence of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He's there waiting. It's time for us to respond. Make your decision.
To assist you with the Lord's Supper, if you have not taken it tonight, we will sing 335 to help you with a frame of reference for the Lord's Supper. And we will sing this song together and then the Lord's Supper.
Made a welcome guest by faith. If you've not partaken of the Lord's Supper this morning, please go ahead and peel back the plastic layer for the bread. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you. And Father, we're here before you, learning about you, learning about your word, learning about your grace, your plan. And Father, we're here to honor you. This part of the week that we celebrate Christ and his death, we celebrate the death because it made all things possible. It fulfilled your plan. And through his death, Christ giving his body, it gives us life. And Father, we take a moment every week and we honor you. And we remember Christ. And we do this knowing that Christ had a choice, you had a plan, and that all things are being done so that we can live with you. And Father, as we take this bread, we do this in remembrance of Jesus. Amen. We'll go ahead and pray for the cup as well. Let's pray. And Father, as Christ gave his body, he also gave his blood. And we know in your word that Christ's blood is all powerful. It cleanses every spot. And Father, Christ gave it willingly. He gave his life, his blood for us. We know that the blood of the Lamb cleanses and protects. And Father, Christ was that innocent lamb given for us, sacrificed for us, killed for us. But Father, he lives, and through him is our path to you. And Father, we take this cup, this blood of Christ, knowing that it cleanses us, and Father, knowing that we will live with you one day. In Christ's name, amen. At this time, we'll also have a prayer for the contribution and offering. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we are so blessed by you, and you have given us all things. You have given us life and ability and grace and mercy and forgiveness again and again and again. And Father, we continue to learn to come to you every time and ask and lean on you. And Father, as we give this week, we give of our work, we give of our abilities, we give of our love. Father, we give so that others can benefit, so that your church, that work can continue, that the word is spread. We give so that your word is out for all. Father, we give. It's nowhere near as much as you have given us, but Father, we give to honor you. And we ask that the work is good, the decisions are edifying of you, and Father, that we give willingly. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. God, it's been good to open up your word and to reflect on it, to think about how it applies to our lives and how we can better serve you, Lord. And we are just in complete awe of what you've done for us, not leaving us as orphans, but just continuing to love us, even when we didn't deserve it. Father, help us throughout this week. Help us to be the kind of representatives of yours that makes you proud. Help us to be like Jesus in how we speak and how we think and how we act. Help us to shine our lights. And it's your name we pray. Amen. If you need communion supplies or anything else, feel free to reach out to the church office. Otherwise, we'll see you on Wednesday. Have a great week.